Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, we're just throwing it around the table here. How, I guess, the Leafs, but really any team. How do you try to expose Tampa? You know, they're this deep, they're this talented, they're this good in every facet of the game. Where do you attack? Where do you hope to find a weakness?
I think it varies from team to team because no team is really built the same. Like, Boston's got to play them differently than Toronto can. I actually think Tampa is a better matchup for Toronto than Boston. They're virtually the same style of team. They rely on a goaltender that is, I think these are probably a couple of the finalists for the Vezina here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're both outstanding goaltenders. You have to hope that the way you built your team is going to hold up against the way they've built their team. Like, this is the thing when I keep reading about, you know, people are yearning for something different from the Leafs. First of all, there's not many teams better than them in the league. Secondly, maybe most importantly, is they're built the way they're built. This is the way they have to play. They've got to skate. They've got to move the puck. They've got to be the better team offensively. I would say, you know, MJ just mentioned, like, stay out of the penalty box. I would say, like, the team that turns the puck over against a team that can run out on a track meet like both of these teams can is probably going to lose. Like, if you burp it up at the high in the offensive zone, you're not going to get back in time. And I think that's probably, for me, is the most key area on the ice.
Ray, everyone's very concerned about the Toronto Maple Leafs defense. And maybe with good reason, especially with the guys hurt. But if everyone was healthy, and I look at Tampa's defense, and no one's talking about that being an issue, and yes, Hedman's better than anyone Toronto has, and they have McDonough. Okay, give me Riley and Jake Gardner. I see Sergachev, Eric Saranac, Braden Coburn, Dan Girardi. That is not the who's who of defense. How come Tampa doesn't seem to have a problem with their defense, but yet everyone's worried about it with Toronto?
Well, I would say we don't know a lot about Chernak, but for a young kid, he stepped in and played pretty well. I know him from the World Junior Tournament. He played there 15 times, I think, for the Czech. It was like he was there every year.
12-year-old making his debut.
Yeah. And, you know, Sergachev's a good young player, but I would match Sergachev and Dermott at this stage of their careers and say, yeah, they're both really good young players that both of them have had really good spots and really not-so-good spots this season. That's happened to both of them. Dan Girardi is no quicker than, well, he wasn't quick 3 years ago, so that's a point that you would have to think is a exploitable point. I guess I would say, MJ, that Tampa's defense plays more as a group, top to bottom, better than Toronto's does. There are nights when Toronto's defense at times seems to come apart at the seams. They have to hope, of course, that Gardner and Dermott are back. I mean, if they're not, I mean, nobody's going to lose a third of their defense and just be fine. No, nobody can sustain that.
Well, luckily for them, they have the smartest player in the history of the sport playing
for
them.
That's amazing.
You know, that would be Mitch Marner, for those wondering. And I know you've heard the clip. We played it earlier, but let's play it again. This is John Cooper, the head coach of Tampa. This isn't even a tire pumping. Like, this is a whole new engine you're inserting in Mitch Marner's, you know, confidence level. Here's what John Cooper said about Marner earlier this morning.
The one thing about Marner is he is as smart a player as this league has not only seen this year, has ever seen. And somebody that can elude defenders and do the things he does with the puck on the offensive side of it, it translates to the defensive side as well.
What do you make of that, Ray?
Two things. One I thought of immediately is, man, those lawyers can pile crap high, can't they?
Yeah.
Like, that was the first thing. The second thing was, I often thought Wayne Gretzky was really stupid when he played. Like, I thought he couldn't see the game. He couldn't see the play. Until you'd go to check him, and he'd throw this pass across the ice to nobody except, oh, here came Yari Curry walking right down Main Street with it that nobody else on the ice would see. When we get to this time of the year and other coaches are talking about other teams, I think we should start a bucket full of you know what, and this can be the first seed that goes in it, because there's going to be a bunch of it that comes from now till the playoffs where nobody's going to say anything negative about another player. I mean, this is over the top here. Good for Mitch. If those guys aren't calling, if the Leafs aren't calling him Einstein, by the end of the day, I'll be disappointed in him. In their
right in the room, you've got to run with this.
Oh, for sure,
you have to because listen.
Like, why wouldn't you sit down on the plane and say, "Hey, Mitch, how does this thing get up in the air and stay there?" Because you would know.
Right,
the smartest guy ever to play in the game.
Just throw a Rubik's cube at him every time you walk past him. Say you have 30 seconds to put this back together.
I mean, you know what the boys are going to be like in the room.
Oh, this is gold.
It is gold. Like, everyone talks about bulletin board material. This is, but it's just for the guys. This isn't a motivational tool that Babcock's going to use. This is what the players are going to use to tune him up on the plane, on the bus. And it'll be playful jabs. And Mitch didn't do anything. He didn't do anything wrong with this scenario.
This
it's
awesome,
just,
though.
But it is pretty cool. And
one of his assistants, Noodle, wouldn't you be? I'd be all over Cooper, like ever, John, ever. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't escape it either. Like, well, Coop, really, that's forever?
Yeah, that seems like a bit much. I mean, listen, Marner is a very smart player. He's a very good player. But this type of reaction,
well, this is where,
it's so exaggerated.
This is where I mean, we talk about social media in a positive light. This is where if Wayne Gretzky ran his own Twitter account, he tweets out like a little wave sign, like "Hello over here"
or
something like that. Just a little troll. If you just cut and paste that, and Wayne Gretzky gives that a wave, saying "Forget about me over here," like
the quote tweet.
Or take a picture of yourself with your shoes on the wrong feet.
Exactly. Just a troll.
Maybe Mitch could help me find the right feet for my shoes. I read that, I'm like, man, that's laying it pretty thick.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, right? Like, if you just said he's a really smart player, he's playing really well, no one's going to dispute that. You know, like Babcock came out today and said of Kucherov that he's the most dangerous player in the game. And listen, you could say it's still McDavid or it's Sid or it's Ovechkin in the office. You know, there are other players in the league. But that's not going out on a limp.
No.
Like, Kucherov is going to have 130 points.
He's going to win the heart.
It's defensible.
Yes. It's very defensible. It's very understandable. But... you know, I guess that's bad. Like you said, right? You know, these guys, hopefully they meet in the second round. I think Tampa probably feels pretty comfortable that they will be waiting in the second round. It's just a matter of whether or not the Maple Leafs can get through Boston. But they're all playing nice. They're all going to play nice right now.
Well, it's funny the way that, you know, last year we were, you know, like losing our minds because we knew, like, from November 1st that Boston and Toronto were going to play, it seemed like, didn't it? It seemed like forever.
Yep.
And even though it's the same now, it feels a little different to me. Like, I don't know why, Tampa's lapping the field, and maybe it was because there were times that, you know, a couple of times that Montreal got close, in particular when they lost that Saturday game. They could have moved to, I think, within 1 point at the time. And that seems like 100 years ago. But it's the same thing. We knew two of these three teams were going to meet in the first round. So there's no surprise, but now we get into this time, and it's like, man, I just kind of want it all to start. You know, this last month, this is great, and these games are little teasers, and they play again in Toronto late in the year. I know we got that one, but I get to the point here. I'm like, okay, I want to get going here. I want to see the real stuff start.
I agree. It's like a month yesterday or a month today. Either way, my thing is, I'd like to kind of see it, and I don't think it's going to happen. But some animosity. Like, look at Vegas-Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like, I mean, not sounds, but it looks like they may end up matching up. Now, that's a different scenario, but if you're the Leafs, like, we always talk about it. Statement games, you know, one game is maybe worth more than the other. It's 82, it's one of 82, but if you want to make a statement on a Monday night coming back off of a Western trip, here it is. It's right in front of you.
This is the team, man.
Go.
Tampa is the team that everyone concedes. That is the platform
game. That's the benchmark right
they
there.
They played well against them.
And
that's
they
the
have
thing, right?
Played
they,
well.
They have to like their chances if they play their game.
But if you're trying to, and I know it, you're not looking past the Boston Bruins, and so you shouldn't because that's a coin flip. But why not make a statement and say, okay, we like the way our team is constructed. Kyle Dubas didn't do much at the deadline. He felt the structure of his team was where they wanted to head. So that showed confidence in the group, the guys in the room. Now, a Monday night coming off of a Western swing, but Brian, you and I were talking about it off air. They could be asleep tonight and Tampa could rip them apart, or they could be scared to lose and want to make a statement against a team that they may face in 6 weeks. And to me, you've got an opportunity in your own building to do that. So why not go at it and don't lose any battles? If Zach Hyman and Nazem Kadri have to finish checks or be a little bit grittier on guys like Hedman and say, hey, you know what? 6 weeks, I'm going to be seeing you and I'm going to be in your grill. To me, that's the type of stuff you have control over.
Well, I would think they'd be in more danger of falling asleep if they were playing somebody in the bottom third of the league.
Correct.
You know, and so tonight, I guess the toughest part, and we never seem to have the answer because we probably were all the same and been the same since ever I've known and still is now, is that first period back, you're, whatever reason, you just, it's like you're dragging a bag of cement behind you. You just can't get going.
It's so true.
Man, it's amazing. You're like, okay, I'm going to sleep different. I'm going to sleep more. I'm going to sleep less. I'm going to eat earlier. I'm going to eat late. And then you go to the rink and you feel terrible. And you're like, damn, it happened again. And I don't know. I think they'll play well tonight. The Calgary-Vegas stuff is awesome. I guess all you need is you need a Tkachuk to run over a goalie somewhere and somebody, you know, and he's in there stirring it all up. These teams aren't really built like that, I guess. But I don't know. I enjoy watching these guys play. Like, when the teams are like this, when they're like-minded, there's going to be skill, there'll be speed. The goalies are going to get taxed, and I like it.
Ray, with Nazem Kadri back in the lineup now, they have their three centermen. William Nylander's time in the middle over. Do you like William Nylander with Nazem Kadri on what would be the third line going forward? Because they have a month here to figure out exactly what they want to do, or does he get another shot with Austin Matthews at some point this year?
I think he gets another shot. The one thing that I believe every coach would like to have is options, and you've got to trust the options. So you're not going to go to it in game three of a playoff series. If they haven't played together and you don't have any expectation about what it would be like for a coach, I just don't see any coaches doing that. I think there'll be a stretch here when it's not, you know, it's not like the Matthews group is scoring like crazy right now. They had a real good night in Edmonton, but didn't get anything for it. But I think there's a time here that you look ahead and you say, okay, what about them? Do I want Johnsson and Kapanen? Am I going to put them and give them more responsibility than Nylander in a series? Right now, I would say he's probably pretty comfortable with it, but Nylander's, you know, shown enough of a jump to think that maybe there's, you know, more there for him again this year and not waiting till next year when everything gets washed clean. So in a long way, yeah, I think he gets another crack at it. I'd be interested to see what it would be like. And again, it would be a couple of game look to see what you have, and then you're going to go into that first series against Boston and you're going to, okay, who are you going to match them up against? You know, it seems, you know, Tavares and Bergeron would play against each other, and then that would leave Matthews to play against Krejci. And I think that's probably the way they would go with that matchup too. Krejci, by the way, Krejci has played, we're talking about one winger. Krejci's played with 13 wingers this year.
He's playing great right now,
yeah,
though, Ray.
He is. 19 goals, yeah.
Amazing season. He hasn't had a season like this. I think I read the last time he's in line on pace to break the most points he's had since he was 22. That just doesn't happen anymore. And he's had this, anybody that's a winger in the Boston organization,
you got it.
He's got it. He's been on his wing sometime. You're the guy. You're the new guy.
Well, you know, just thinking about this while we're talking about it, it's always coming back to Boston. You know, it's always coming back to Boston. In Toronto, it's already started. I'm sure the same thing down there. We all know where this is going. The Habs are 10 points back of Toronto, and Tampa's so far gone. It's just a matter of who's going to have home ice. But it really is a shame that these two teams don't play each other again. And, you know, you just mentioned the Calgary and Vegas. I know the schedule's complicated. It's never easy to really work out. But this is where the NFL, they've got it set up. You know, they got it made in the shade, because they don't have to worry about scheduling with their stadiums. And down the stretch, all you do is play divisional rivals. That's all you do is play them.
Right.
And, you know, you got a situation here where, yeah, the Leafs, they got Tampa two more times. You know, and that can build up some animosity, and that can be something, you know, somewhat of a platform for if they meet in the second round, where maybe we can reach back at that and say, okay, the seeds were planted. But You know, how did Toronto and Boston not have a game late in the season? Like, how, going back to what happened last year in the playoffs and the likelihood that they would meet again in the playoffs this year, they haven't played each other in months.
I'd love to see how many times division rivals play twice in a week or twice in 10 days. It happens all the time early in the year. And it's, and then they're, you know, you're down to just a couple of games left over the last 75 games. I wish they played in the division too, man. It would be, I don't know, those are the best games, and they give you a little jazz for the playoffs, and you're like, man, now these games feel important now. Okay, look, we can look at what might be in a couple of weeks, and I don't know. There must be a reason for it, because I think they would probably be in favor of it, too, if it worked out.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be must-watch TV. Even, like, Pittsburgh-Columbus, like, teams that are battling for playoff spots,
right.
Like, you go head-to-head, like, there's your four-point game. There's a difference in playoffs. And then here's your potential first-round matchup. Here's your second-round matchup. I know you can't predict at the start of the season, but if you do, especially down the stretch, have that, you know, dreaded rival, you can plan that ahead.
Well, and what you're also doing is you're taking away the travel leading into the playoffs.
Correct.
You know, and again, this is pie-in-the-sky perfect world stuff, and I know it's a computer that generally knocks out all the details here, but they're trying to establish something with this playoff format. You know, they're trying to establish rivalries within the division. Well, why not amplify them before you even get to the playoffs if you can? You know, why not? And I know there's seven or eight teams in every division, so it's never going to work out perfectly. But, you know, this Calgary-Vegas is a perfect example. You got these two teams that could meet seven-game series in a month.
Yeah.
Like, people, you don't have to go that far back to find a highlight of Ryan Reeves, you know, skating around like a lunatic, or Matthew Tkachuk running into Marc-Andre Fleury.
Exactly.
And then, you know, basically challenging David Riddick. I mean, that kind of stuff is still going to be in the minds of every fan.
For sure.
Forget fans in Calgary and Vegas. I'm talking league-wide. Everyone's going to remember that in a month.
Yep.
So, you know.
Well, we're not going to get it. We'll enjoy Tampa and Toronto.
No, I hear you. What's the buzz?
Is Ola in the old studio helping out? Or?
You know what? You know what's funny,
right? Belt sander on right now. Yeah.
There's a great grinder.
Good visual for you.
There's a great grinder in there that people are actually wondering if that's O working.
I saw the picture, and I was like, if O doesn't have a tool belt pulling his pants down off his ass, I don't know if this thing is going off the rails right
or not. That only happens when he's either trying to tackle Trady on Trade Center Day or working on the new studio. That's when his pants, somehow they can't stay on his waist. But yeah, he might be over there working. That might be a side gig for him.
Well, I'm looking forward to the new studio. How they're going to make you guys look good in there is going to be amazing. I don't know.
Borderline impossible, I would think, but they're trying. That's why the budget's, you know, being directed towards our appearance. The radio show, and they worry about how we look.
There seems to be a disconnect.
There's a lot of smoke and mirrors pumped in there, for sure.
You know you have a brutal look when they're like, man, these guys are on radio, but this can't pass.
We got to clean this up quick.
This has got to change, man. These guys look brutal. Anyway, enjoy the games tonight, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. Later, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Is the 2019 Toyota RAV4 the safest SUV? See for yourself at Maple Toyota. Get rates from 0%. MapleToyota.com.